Quirrell! Gasped the Medjel as it skidded to a stop by the airlock, the suit helmet held in front of it. Zora Lundra swept the helmet from its grasp and fitted it quickly over Hawser's head.
You will find the warp attachment in the lock, the Adiran told Hawser. Get as far away as possible. The fleet will be here in about 9 standard hours. You shouldn't have to do anything. The suit will summon help on a coded IFF response. I too.
Zora Lundra broke off as the cruiser lurched. There was a loud bang, and Hawser was blown off his feet by a shockwave, while the Adiran on his tripod of legs hardly moved. The Medjel, which had gone for the helmet, yelped as it was blown under Zoralundra's legs. The Adiran swore and kicked at it. It ran off. The cruiser lurched again as other alarms started. Hawser could smell burning. A confused medley of noises that might have been Adiran voices or muffled explosions came from somewhere overhead.
I too shall try to escape, Zoralundra continued. God be with you, human.
Before Hawser could say anything, the Adiran had rammed his visor down and pushed him into the lock. It slammed shut. Hawser was thrown against one bulkhead as the cruiser juddered mightily. He looked desperately round the small spherical space for a warp unit, then saw it, and after a short struggle, unclamped it from its wall magnets. He clamped it to the rear of his suit.
Ready? A voice said in his ear.
Hawser jumped, then said, Yes, yes, hit it. The airlock didn't open conventionally. It turned inside out and threw him into space, tumbling away from the flat disk of the cruiser in a tiny galaxy of ice particles. He looked for the culture ship, then told himself not to be stupid. It was probably still several trillion kilometers away. That was how divorced from the human scale modern warfare had become. You could smash and destroy from unthinkable distances, obliterate planets from beyond their own system, and provoke stars into novae from light years off, and still have no good idea why you are really fighting. With one last thought for Balveda, Hawser reached until he found the control handle of the bulky warp unit, fingered the correct buttons on it, and watched the stars twist and distort around him as the unit sent him and his suit lancing away from the stricken Adiran spacecraft. He played with the wrist set for a while, trying to pick up signals from the hand of God 137, but got nothing but static. The suit spoke to him once, saying, Warp unit. Charge. Half exhausted. Hawser kept a watch on the warp unit via a small screen set inside the helmet. He recalled that the Adirans said some sort of prayer to their god before going into warp. Once, when he had been with Zora Lundra on a ship which was warping, the Quirrell had insisted that the changer repeat the prayer too. Hawser had protested that it meant nothing to him. Not only did the Adiran god clash with his own personal convictions, the prayer itself was in a dead Adiran language he didn't understand. He'd been told, rather coldly, that it was the gesture that mattered. For what the Adirans regarded as essentially an animal, their word for humanoids was best translated as bioautomaton, only the behaviour of devotion was required. His heart and mind were of no consequence. When Hawser had asked what about his immortal soul, Zora Lundra had laughed. It was the first and only time Hawser had experienced such a thing from the old warrior. Whoever heard of a mortal body having an immortal soul? When the warp unit was almost exhausted, Hawser shut it off. Stars swam into focus around him. He set the unit controls, then threw it away from him. They parted company, he moving slowly off in one direction, while the unit spun off in another. Then it disappeared, as the controls switched it back on again to use the last of its power, leading anybody following its trace away in the wrong direction. He calmed his breathing down gradually. It had been very fast and hard for a while, but he slowed it, and his heart deliberately. He accustomed himself to the suit, testing its functions and powers. It smelled and felt new, and looked like a Rech-built device. Rech suits were meant to be among the best. People said that the culture made better ones, but people said the culture made better everything, and they were still losing the war. Hawser checked out the lasers the suit had built in, and searched for the concealed pistol he knew it ought to carry. He found it at last, disguised as part of the left forearm casing, a small plasma handgun. He felt like shooting it at something, but there was nothing to aim at. He put it back. He folded his arms across his bulky chest and looked around. Stars were everywhere. He had no idea which one was Sorpin's. So, the culture ships could hide in the photospheres of stars, could they? And a mind, even if it was desperate and on the run, could jump through the bottom of a gravity well, could it? Maybe the Adirans would have a tougher job than they expected. They were the natural warriors. They had the experience and the guts, and their whole society was geared for continual conflict. But the culture, that seemingly disunited, anarchic, hedonistic, decadent melange of more or less human species, forever hiving off or absorbing different groups of people, had fought for almost 4 years without showing any sign of giving up or even coming to a compromise.